teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah. And actually part one, we'll call it part one. These three words in Hebrew are roughly translated repentance, prayer, and charity. And basically they are the three pillars of the high holidays. In other words, they affect, in traditional Judaism, this is what brings atonement in their understanding, which is repentance, prayer, and charity. And it's because, and the reason this is done at this time is it's understood in traditional Judaism that on Rosh Hashanah, the book of life is opened up, and all of those who are fully righteous are inscribed into the book of life for the coming year at that point. All those who are fully wicked are removed from the book of life, are not written in, and then for the rest of us, which is the vast majority, obviously, our destiny is determined over the next 10 days, known as the Days of Awe, basically. And it's during this period that Jewish people perform teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah to ensure that their names are inscribed in the book of life. That's the way traditional Judaism looks at this holiday period. Now, over three messages that I'm going to be giving here, I'm going to examine each of these particular actions in light of the scriptures. In other words, teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah. And tonight I'm going to begin with the subject of teshuvah, which generally is translated repentance. But the root of the word teshuvah is the Hebrew word shuv, which means to return. And there's tons of uses of this term shuv or shuvu or shuvi or teshuvah in the scriptures. It's used multiple times. And one of the best known passages for this particular text is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 21, which says this. It says, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return, renew our days as of old." Now we say this each week when we return the Torah to the ark. It's part of the Etz Chaim prayer, the Tree of Life prayer. And it's in this prayer, this Etz Chaim prayer, is a combination of different scriptures. One, the first part of the scripture begins with the Torah being the Tree of Life, and those who follow it get blessings in their lives and so on. And then it concludes with this curious passage up here. And let's leave this verse back up here, Clarine, thanks. This curious passage from Lamentations. It's actually, there's a better translation. This is a more literal translation, which I'm going to give you right now. In the Hebrew, it's Hashivenu Adonai, which literally means return to us, O Lord, Alecha benashuva, and we will return. In other words, return to us, O Lord, and we will return. That's the actual literal translation. I want you to notice that the two key words here, Hashivenu, has the root of Hashivenu is the word shuv, which means to return, or in Hashivenu's case, return to us. And then Nashuva also has shuv in it, which means we will return. The context of this particular passage that we see up here on the screen is the destruction of the temple. Jeremiah is wandering through the streets of Jerusalem after Jerusalem has been ransacked and the first temple has been destroyed. And he uses this term, Hashivenu or shuv, or teshuvah, more than anyone else in the scriptures. This, in Jeremiah, the prophet uses this particular term more than anybody else in the entire Bible. And when we examine this verse again, what we see is for Israel to return, God must first return. In other words, for Israel to return, God must first return. What does that mean? Well, the prophet Ezekiel looks at it from a different angle. He talks about also the destruction of the first temple, and then he has a vision. And in the vision, the Shekhinah, or the presence of the Lord, suddenly leaves the temple and leaves the land, and then destruction follows. So the idea is that the Lord is leaving his people because of sin. That's the issue. Jeremiah is basically saying this. He's saying, for us to return, for us to be restored, then you, O God, must return to us first. That's what he's really saying. We often have this image of God that he's always there. He's always beckoning us to him. But the scriptures don't seem to really bear this out, because it says this in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near." We do have the nursery is open over here, so in the next room. We also see King David's agonizing prayer as well, following his commission of adultery and his conspiracy to commit murder. And he says this in Psalm 51. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore," or hashiva from shuv, "to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So the idea again here is that the Lord's presence can be removed or will be removed when we sin against the Lord. You see, once again, God must first return before I can turn to him. Before I can be restored, the Lord has to return himself to us. You see, often we think, well, I've strayed from the Lord, and I need to go back to him. But the reality is that my actions actually cause God to leave me. And honestly, that's kind of scary when you really think about it, that our actions sinful actions actually cause God to leave us. That's the way the scripture kind of presents this. Well, what are these days really about? I think they're best captured in a famous Negro spiritual that goes like this. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back to the place where I believed. You see, it's the idea of pleading with God like Jeremiah that the Lord will take us back into his presence. That's really what the issue is. Now, I want us to consider Yeshua's primary message when he came to this earth. We probably all remember. What is his primary message? Somebody say it. His primary message. Who can tell me? He says it many times. Repent. He says, shuvu. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's Yeshua's words. In other words, what is Yeshua saying? He's saying this. He's saying God is near now. Why? Because his greatest gift, Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God, has been sent into the world. It's God's visitation from on high that has now come down to the earth. In other words, the presence of the Lord is now here and now. It's similar to the message that the Lord gave to the shepherds from the angel, where it says this in Luke chapter 2. This is at the birth of Yeshua. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord." So Yeshua's message is this. It's real straightforward. God is near to you in me, and now return to God and be restored. That's what he's saying. And when he says restored, he means to be restored in every sense of the word. That means restoration means healing. Because Yeshua healed all the sick, and we know that by his stripes we are healed. Restoration means deliverance, because Yeshua cast out the demons, and it's for us as well. Restoration means empowerment, because he was filled with the fullness of God with full abundance, without limitation. And now he gives freely of his spirit to those who call upon him. Restoration means victory over sin, because he had victory in every single area of his life. Restoration means prosperity, because he guarantees us the abundant life. Restoration means peace, because peace I give unto you, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. And restoration means freedom, because Yeshua said, "He who the Son sets free shall be free indeed." That's what restoration means, and that's what the Lord was saying to his people when he was here. Now, after Yeshua's ministry on the earth at Shavuot, the Spirit of the Lord pours down upon Yeshua's followers in Jerusalem. Others see the commotion with the outpouring of the Spirit, and they begin to ask what's going on. And Peter gets up and he begins to preach about Yeshua. And the people are convicted, and they say back, but they know there's a lack in their own lives, and so their response is this, and say, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And then it's reported in Acts chapter 2. This is their response, Peter's response. Peter replied, "Shuvu," just like Yeshua, repent, "and be immersed, everyone, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins." Why is that happening? Because God is near. In other words, he's returned to Israel in the person of Yeshua, and now he's saying, turn back. In other words, repent and be restored to all that God has given to you. What Peter is saying is you must respond to his gift, which is Yeshua the Messiah, because without him there is no restoration. That's what's being said. And then he says to be immersed in his name. And why? What's so significant about this? Because immersions were very common in that day and age. All the Jewish sects were immersing for different particular reasons. And usually it means a new start. It usually means a kind of a washing away of the old. But in Yeshua, you are specifically immersed in his name. Why? Because he's God's gift to you. And so you are identifying with this gift, with this restoration for all that the Lord is bringing. Tomorrow, for those who are going to be immersed in Yeshua's name, that's the idea. It's that we're identifying with all that Yeshua has done and thanking him for his gift and thanking God for being near to us. It's a way of repenting. And so we see that God makes himself known. And then, he returns to us, and then we turn back to him. That's the idea. In other words, he takes his rightful place in our lives. He sits on the throne. He becomes the king of our lives, just like the kingdom, the idea of the kingdom is during Rosh Hashanah. And the idea, what we're to do as our response is to make him king over our personal lives during this particular season. How about today? It's interesting that the meaning of the day, Rosh Hashanah, has changed dramatically over the years. It's not like it once was. But the scripture says that this is an appointed time of the Lord. In other words, it's in the Torah where it describes this day. It's referred to as Yom HaTeruah, or the Day of the Trumpets. And we're going to blow that trumpet tomorrow, the shofar. And when we blow that shofar, we turn our hearts back to God because God is here among us. How do we know he's here? Because this is an appointed time of the Lord. In other words, during the appointed times is when God begins to show up. He shows up and he becomes present. And it's not just one time like years ago, but each time that's celebrated, he appears within us. This evening is an appointed time for the Lord. God is here and he's calling you back to him. That's what it's about. He's calling you to make him king over your own life. And if you've never responded, the greatest gift that God has ever given, now's the time. Did you know that the normal and rightful condition of each person is to be in a relationship with God? That's the norm. How do we know that? Because each of us were created in his image. In other words, that's the norm, is to walk with God. Sin and separation from God is abnormal. It's an aberration from what God wants. And that's why when we talk about teshuvah, which means to repent, it really means to return. It means to be restored to what God has originally planned for you and me. In other words, it's the norm. God is here right now because it's an appointed time before the Lord. And the blowing of the shofar, let's turn back and make him king of our lives. And so what I want us to do tonight is they're going to sing this particular song here, making him the king of our hearts and the king of our lives. And I just ask each of us to embrace the words of this song, sing it as you mean it, and make him king of your heart tonight.